Amen. Good to be here this morning. I'm glad to be alive and awake and just happy. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans, chapter 10. I'm going to ask you this morning, are you saved? Okay? Are you saved? And here's what that means. In case you don't know what that means, here's what that means. Okay? It means that you have an absolute, total knowing that if you died today, that God would grant you the blessing of heaven. The blessing of heaven is not worked for. It is not earned. It is not paid for. It is not, you don't speak it into reality. It is asked and it is given. The blessings of heaven and eternal life are a gift from God. They're not of our works, lest we should boast. And there's enough religious groups out there, including Christian religious groups, that love to boast about what they're doing and what they're earning with God. They love to boast on what they do in their church services. They love to boast about this. And I've been to the preacher's meetings and I've heard them boast. I've heard the pastors boast about, well, praise God, we're doing this, we're doing that. And I don't want to hear what they're doing. I want to hear what God is doing in amongst them. Amen. Because when it ultimately comes down to it, it's not going to be what you have, that how good you've been to God. It's going to be how good God has been to you. Let me hear you say amen. That's the testimony that a lot of people in this world need. Now, I want to tell you something. There's probably some people sitting out there in the world that probably want to be saved. They want to have eternal life. They want to have heaven. But they've been told by a religious figure that they have to be good enough, or they have to do this, or they have to earn it in some way, or merit it somehow. And I'm here to tell you that you cannot be good enough to get God's grace on your life. I'm here to tell you that when you're at your worst, God is at his best. Can I hear you say amen? Now, I can tell you that some of the greatest blessings that God has ever given me in my life has not been because I was high up on the mountain somewhere serving God and obeying him and being faithful and everything. It's been when I was in my lowest, and that's where God found me when he saved me. Amen? That's where he'll find you when he decides to save you, when he's going to have compassion on you. That's where he's going to find you. He's going to find you at your lowest. Those of you who know me, we're going to be in Romans chapter 10, I'm just kind of going back and forth from Romans 10 to different places, and I'm just trying to follow the Spirit of the Lord. I was telling Bradley yesterday, I had two messages on my heart, and I'm going to preach this one this morning, and I think the next one that God has given to me, I'm going to wait till maybe next week, but we'll just see what God does. He might give me another message, and if that's what happens, I'll preach it. But in Romans chapter 10, the whole book of Romans will tell you how you can know that you have eternal life. It'll tell you what you need to do. I do not believe, nor does this church believe, nor does the Bible teach that you have to be baptized in water in order to inherit eternal life. That's a lie. I believe in water baptism, but I believe that it's an outward expression of what God has already done on you on the inside. I can't clean your guts out. Amen. I can't clean you up on your soul. Only God can do that with his holy water, which is the water of the Word, this Bible right here. Amen? By the way, if your Bible ain't holy, it ain't the Word of God. Amen? So that's just kind of what we believe here. But you cannot be saved by eating communion. You cannot be saved by me pronouncing that you're saved. If that were true, I would go up here to the top of this mountain over here, overlooking Festus and Crystal City, and say, y'all are saved. And then I'd go on vacation for about a month. Amen. That's not how it is. You have to want it. You have to ask for it and you have to call for it. And then God said that he will save you. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. And it really, those of you who know me well enough to know, you know, there's certain things that get my dander up. There's certain things that really, if you want to push my button, I mean, I can take a lot of abuse. I mean, I can just handle a lot of things. But when you start talking about salvation and start giving me false ways that people are saved, I'm going to stand up. And I've heard a bunch of it, and it just really, and I've got people that are being mean about this issue, and I'm going to be mean right back, because I'm going to stand for the Word of God this morning and stand for the amazing grace that God gives us by way of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Say amen. He did so as a substitution for your sin. You, the one who should have been hung on the cross. You're the one who should have been slain. You're the one who should have died and suffered and went to hell. But Jesus did that for you, and he did that in your place so that you would inherit eternal life. And how is it that we can accept what that's saying? There's a lot of people in this country who say that they're Christian and they're going to heaven. They have deceived themselves into that because the fruits of their life do not manifest them as being having a born again nature in them. And see, I like this phrase, the Holy Spirit. I think the holy word means something. I think when you really get saved, all of a sudden you just don't want to do the same old stuff that you used to do. Say amen. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm just saying that you just got a new nature and you just don't want to live the way you used to live anymore. I want to tell you, when you live like a dog, then you'll live where the dogs live. Amen. But when you live like a dove and live like the saints are supposed to live, when you get God's ways in, you just want to live the way God wants you to live. And that's just how there is to it. But anyway, Christ died on the cross. He died for your sins. And you can have eternal life this morning if you want it. And I'm going to preach a message on salvation, but I also want us to think about other realms of life and areas of life that God can save us. I know God can save our soul. Amen. Do you believe God can save a marriage? Okay. Do you believe God can save a family that might be tore up? Do you believe God can save a country? Well, our country needs to be saved. Amen. Listen, we don't need higher taxes or lower taxes. We don't need more spending or less spending. We don't need more programs or less programs. What we need is a congressman and a president and judges that know and believe the Bible and will lead that way and lead this country that way. Can I hear you say amen? And that's just the Bible way of how it's done. But I believe God can save marriages. I believe God can save families. God can even save our finances. How many of you believe that? Say amen. God, listen, God can help us and do things for us. And I'm not preaching a wealth gospel because I think that's false. But I believe that if you call upon the name of the Lord, God will help you. That's just what I believe. And so anyway, I want us to look in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Here's what the Bible says. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. He's talking about the Bible. Verse 9. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It does not say water baptized, either sprinkle or immersion. Does not say take communion. It does not say do flip-flops and up and down the aisle and speak in tongues. It does not say any of that stuff. What it says is that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And it's not me or the priest or the pope or the bishop or Billy Graham or anybody who says you're saved. It's God that says you're saved. And I think there's a big difference. There's a big difference in man calling you saved and God calling you saved. Okay? Now look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And by the way, when you are saved, you won't mind confessing that you're saved. I want you to stop and think about how it was before you got saved. Before you got saved, you didn't mind telling everybody how drunk you got the night before. Amen. You didn't mind coming in to work with a hangover. Before you were saved, you didn't mind telling about the people you slept with or wanted to sleep with. When you were still lost, you didn't mind cursing, swearing, telling dirty jokes, defiling your body with it. You didn't mind doing that stuff. You didn't mind telling everybody about it. My goodness, there's queers coming out of the closet left and right in this country right now, and they don't mind telling everybody they're queer. I'm saying to you this morning, when you get saved, you don't mind telling people you're saved. Somebody say amen. I'm not saying you got to get in their face with it and be ignorant. In fact, that just might tell them something different. Amen. But I'm saying being gentle as a dove. You see, you know what? I thank God that God saved me from my sins. That's talk you don't hear anymore, but that's talk that needs to be said. Now, verse 11. For the scripture saith, oh, look what the Bible says. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Don't be ashamed. Young people. The kids at your school will talk about AC/DC and Lady Gaga. And they'll talk about Harry Potter. And they'll talk about every wicked, vile thing under the sun. They'll dress like them, act like them, join up with them, and do all kinds of things. And they're not ashamed of it. They will try to make you feel ashamed that you're a Christian. But really, there is no shame in believing that heaven is your home for all of eternity. The Muslims of this, have you ever seen a bashful Muslim? Muslims, by their very nature, are not bashful. They have, and I've got pictures, they will go into certain cities and they will tie up the entire block at prayer time, Muslim prayer time, and they'll drop their shawls on the ground and they'll bow and pray towards an idol that's in Mecca. And they'll stop up traffic, and nobody touches them anymore. Nobody does it. If we were to do that, I mean, we'd be probably thrown in jail or fined. They're not ashamed to worship their false god. We shouldn't be afraid to worship the real one. Okay? Now, verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that do what? Call upon him. You're not saved by attrition. You're not saved because you attended three straight church services in a row. You're not saved because your mom and daddy were saved. That's not how you get. You're not born saved. You're born lost, and you need to be saved. So it doesn't just float into you unexpectedly. You ask for it. You have not because you ask not. So you have to call upon him. Now, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you just want the Bible reduced down to one verse, right here. We believe the religion that says that we don't have to go perform rituals, recite incantations, speak magic words, quote prayers, quote anything else. We believe that we can call upon the name of the Lord and God will hear us no matter what state or condition we're in. Now, God will want to bring you out of that state before he does anything else. How many of you believe that? Say amen. But once he set your feet on solid ground, God will then begin to work and begin to save other areas of life. He will save your marriage. You don't have to get a divorce. You don't have to get on the internet and find some other gal or find some other man. You don't have to do that. Okay? God can save your marriage. God can save your family. God can save your finances. God can, there's nothing outside of the scope and the realm of God's ability to save in your life. Now, I'm going to preach this in just kind of one direction here. I had introduced to me several years ago, a pastor's wife has sent me a packet of information. She said, Pastor Mike, she said, I want you to go through this and see what you think about it. And I'm always, you know, looking to see what's going on out in the world. And I have been introduced to this. In fact, sometimes I get pretty fierce about it because we have people all over the world that watches our ministry and watches it, you know, our internet broadcasts, things like that. And some of these people, if you're going to talk about conspiracy theories, man, they're going to eat it all up. But when you start giving them Bible, that's kind of when they start going at you on it. And I've had some of these people get in contact with me and wanting to straighten my doctrine out. And I actually had a guy come up to me at a meeting in Lansing, Michigan. And he said, he introduced himself, says, Pastor so-and-so. I said, well, Pastor, thank you for coming. And he said, have you ever seen this Bible? And he held it out to me. And I, before I even touched it, I said, is it a King James Bible? And he said, it's based on the King James. It's not the same. And what I found out was he was part of a group. It's a cult. And the definition of the cult is they have a secret doctrine. And their secret doctrine is that the name of Jesus is not the name that you should be calling unto. They said, now, in the original Hebrew, which is, ought to send up red flags everywhere, flares shooting up. They said, in the original Bible that we don't have anymore, his name was, and I did some research on it. It's either Yahshua, Yahashua, or Yaheshua, or Yeheshua, or Yeshua. Five different variations, and none of those groups could ever figure out which one is the real name of Jesus. Okay? And they say if you're praying in the name of Jesus, that is, you're actually praying to the Greek god Zeus who holds a thunderbolt in his hand, and you're actually worshiping a false god, and therefore, and you know, they're called the sacred name people, and really, they have the little mystery religion that says only we have the true name of Christ, and if you're not saying that name, you're not saved. Okay? Now, that's false. Look in your Bible, and if it says Jesus, then call upon Jesus. Somebody say amen. Okay? And so, you know, I kind of flipped out. When this guy presented this to me in Lansing, I figured out he had a whole group of people sitting back here like where David and Linda all them sitting at. All right? And I just kind of kept my eye on them the whole meeting. And what they wanted to do was, at the end of the meeting, they wanted to attack me publicly and try to make everybody think that there was mistakes in that Bible right there. And God had prepared me for that meeting. I didn't know about it. God prepared me for it. And as soon as I figured out who they were, I'm going to tell you what, I pulled my sword out. I got my rod and staff out because there were some people sitting over here like where Jared and Betty Walsh is sitting here. I'm not trying to say y'all bad or anything. Anyway, they're sitting over here. They wanted to believe the Bible was the Word of God. They wanted to believe it was right. And they wanted to lay their head down at night and believe that if they called upon the name of the Lord, they would be saved. And I became a shepherd, and I got my rod and staff out, and I started chasing the wolves out of that building that night, because I want to tell you, I get a little zealous when it comes to how a person can be saved. I believe that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Somebody say amen. So what I did was, I started thinking about, maybe Jesus ain't the right name, which it is. Okay? And if you're Latin, it's Jesus, or if you're Hispanic, it's Jesus. And if you are, I think Japanese, it's Gisu. Okay? But the name is Jesus. Amen. Now, if you're a Hebrew, if you're a Jew and you speak Hebrew, then it's Yahshua, or however they pronounce it. But I'm telling you that for us sitting here today in this building and in this place, His name is Jesus. So I started thinking about that God was called other names in the Bible. And so if you think that calling upon the name of Jesus is not really where you're at, let me give you some other names that you can call upon and God will save you. Somebody say amen. And I just kind of looked at the phrase, the name of the Lord. That's mentioned. I forgot how many times in the Bible called it. In Genesis chapter 4, after Seth was born and after Enos was born, the Bible says they began to call upon the name of the Lord. In Exodus 33:19, the Bible says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. This was God revealing himself to Moses. He said, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Now, I want you to get this, because here it is, Exodus 33. Moses is up on the mountain of God. And God said, now Moses, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And what I found out was God did that. God told Moses, here's what my name is. So in Exodus chapter 34, in fact, I want you to turn there in your Bible. Turn to Exodus 34. And there's a bunch of names in here that you could, some that I won't preach on, you probably think of. While you're turning there, let me give you one. If you don't want to call upon the name of Jesus, how about call upon the name of the Holy One? Psalm 71, I will also praise thee with psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. And I like that name because I like the word holy in front of it. Amen. I think God's holy, and I think God's city is holy, God's kingdom is holy, and I think God wants to make you holy. Somebody say amen. God wants to make your marriage clean. God wants to make your mind clean. He wants to make your home clean. Our God is a clean God. Somebody say amen. And when you find yourself out in the depths of sin and you're all filthy with the world's nastiness, and the world is nasty. Amen. Anybody walks around with their pants hanging down past their rear end, that's nasty. Amen. Listen, it's just indicative of the filthiness that this world is in. And we need to get our hearts straightened out. We need to get our lives clean before the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way to do that is to call upon the God who is the Holy One. He didn't say He's one of the Holy Ones. There's only one holy God. Call upon His name. Somebody say amen. How about this one? Most High. 49 times in the King James Bible, that phrase, that's 7 times 7, by the way. Perfection, completion. And just the name Most High means ain't nobody higher. Amen. I mean, if you think you want to work your way up the chain to maybe try to get to God, I'm here to tell you that there's a mediator between you and God, and it's not Mary, and it's not the Pope, and it's not Mike Hoggart, and it's not Billy Graham, and it's not Barack Obama. The mediator between you and God is Jesus Christ, who is the Holy One of Israel, and He is the Son. Even the devils proclaimed that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. So when you've hit the throne of God, you've hit all that there is. When you've called upon the Most High God, there's nobody that's over Him. There is, let me read some verses. It is Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto... Listen to what he says. It's good to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. So if you have a real hang up with the name Jesus, try on Most High, because that's His name. Would it be okay for me to pray in the name of the Most High? Somebody say amen. Okay? Listen, I'm not God. If you want, come to me. And the whole world is full of this doctrine that says, oh, you got to go to the guru, or oh, you got to go to the pastor, you got to go to the priest, or you got to go to the bishop, and he'll work his way up. Or they'll say, oh, you got to pray to Saint so-and-so. And then when you get a Saint so-and-so, Saint so-and-so will pray for you before Jesus. He'll pray to you before God. I'm here to tell you that as people, we can go directly to the throne of the Most High God and have our request mentioned. Somebody say amen. And by the way, He's not sharing His throne. You know what? Let me get my notes here. Psalm 47, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth, and there's nobody above Him. Now listen, Isaiah 14:14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Who's Lucifer? Thank you. Lucifer is the devil. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? If you have an NIV, it says morning star. The morning star is Jesus, and Jesus did not fall from heaven. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. How many of you believe the devil wants to control the churches? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And then seven words here. I will be like the Most High. Won't work. Because I know the devil. How many of y'all know the devil? Say amen. Ladies, you woke up with him one morning. Amen. Okay. I know the devil. And he is nothing like the Most High. Nothing like him. My God is holy. Listen, the devil's filthy. My God is compassionate and has mercy. The devil is ruthless. He doesn't care who he devours. Somebody say amen. I'm here to tell you the devil's not like the Most High. Oh, I like this one. This is one of my favorite ones. You're still there. What did I tell you to turn? Exodus 34. Hang on there. Okay. Exodus 34, verse 5. How about another name of God? One. Zechariah 14:9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name, one. One. When you hear them in the ecumenical council saying, all roads lead to the same God, that's not true. There are other gods out there. And if you want to serve them, knock yourself out. I'm going to serve the one whose name is one. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. Hold your place. I know I told you that. Hold your place there in Exodus. We'll get back to it. Hold your place there. Turn to 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7. Remember, His name is one. When you pray, pray to the one true God. Pray to the Holy One. Pray to the Most High. There is no other God beside Him. There's nothing like Him. He has no equal, and He has no superior. All things are subordinate to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. He is the one God, and His name one. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. They are all one. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. John said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Somebody say amen. Let me just throw this in here, because I just feel like being mean about it. The NIV in this verse says someone was sitting on it. That makes doodads going down my back. That's not the same as the one who is sitting on the throne. In those other Bibles, they will not tell you who it is that's sitting on the throne. It is an incomplete thought that doesn't really make any sense. It's like John was looking at the throne and saw one sitting on the throne, didn't know who it was. I guarantee you, when it's time for you to stand before Jesus in judgment, you are going to know who He is. There would be no mistake. There will be no mistaking who you're standing before, because I'm getting ahead of myself. Every knee shall bow. There will be no mistaking who you're standing before. And John was not all messed up and didn't know how to write it out. There was one sitting on the throne. And I want to tell you something. If you really want to be saved, there will be not room for two in your life. There will not be room for two sitting on the throne of your life. Jesus said, you either serve God or mammon. You cannot have two masters. It is impossible for you to serve two masters. And the truth of it is, most church people live their lives as if they can. I didn't say lost people. Lost people only serve one God. Amen? That may be the God of alcohol, the God of sex, or the God of drugs, or the God of foul mouth, or whatever it is. But I'm here to tell you, born again, Bible believing Christians only serve one God, but a lot of church members act as if that they can serve two and get away with it. You might be able to play that game for a little while, but it'll all, how many of you knows it all catches up to you? Somebody, how many, it just rolled up on you one day. Somebody say amen. Now come on, raise your hand. Now we've got visitors that might think that you think they're better than everybody else. Raise your hand if it all came crashing down one day, raise your hand and say amen. Okay? I'm telling you, that's how it works. And I'm telling you, His name is one. There is only room for one God in your life. And if you really want to be saved, you decide whose side you're going to be on. Amen? Listen, if you want to be a flip-flopper, go to Washington, D.C. They flip-flop all the time up there. Amen? Sorry, it's a bunch of sorry bunch. How about this one? His name is God Almighty. Revelation 4:8, and the four beasts, each of them had six wings about them. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. Notice the cadence. Notice the pattern here. Holy, holy, holy. How many is that? That's three. Why? There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. How many of you believe that? Say amen. They said, holy, holy, holy. And then they said, Lord God Almighty. That word Almighty means Almighty. See, it's real simple, isn't it? It means God can do anything. It means that God has all the power. Jesus said to His disciples, He said, all power has been given me. Therefore, go ye out into all world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. He is the Almighty God. The devil is not more powerful than God. Don't listen to that charismatic garbage that'll tell you that God's sitting up in heaven wringing His hands on, oh, if you just had enough faith, I could do something. That's a heresy. That's a lie. God doesn't need your permission. Amen. God doesn't need your positive attitude. God, you know what God needs? God needs a sorry and a broken heart. That's what God's looking for. Somebody say amen. I'm just telling you, God is Almighty. So if you want to call upon the name of the Lord, call Him God Almighty, because that's who He is. How about Isaiah 7? Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive. That's not the King James. The RSV they broke the barriers years ago. And the Revised Standard Version came out and said, behold, a young woman shall conceive. Now, I don't know how it was back then, but I can tell you that we got young women conceiving right and left. Some of them 12, 13 years old. Somebody say amen. That's not proof of the Messiah. The Bible says a virgin shall conceive. Whew. Stop and think about that for a minute. Think about our God that we call upon is a miracle working God. He does things out of the ordinary because He is an extraordinary God. Somebody say amen. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name what? What was His name to be called? Emmanuel. You know, what is that? What does the New Testament tell us that name means? God with us. So if you have a hang up with the name Jesus, then just call Him what the Bible calls Him. Call Him Emmanuel. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing sweeter. Listen to me. Being saved is a lot more than just a get out of hell free card. Amen? Being saved is really what brings us into a fellowship with God. If you are lost, God wants you to be saved, and he's being good to you, and he's doing good things for you because he wants to show you how good he is. But the truth of it is, if you're lost or you're out in sin, you're not in fellowship with God. God is not with you. And while you say you believe in Jesus and you say you believe in God, the truth of it is, the truth of God's presence in your life is not there, and you're lost. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing in the world sweeter to a human being, to a flawed, mortal, gonna die one of these days human beings. There's nothing sweeter than the fellowship of God in your life. Somebody say amen to that if you know what I'm talking about. It's not a religious practice. It's not a service. It's not any, although we want Emmanuel in this church. Amen. We want Emmanuel and not Ichabod. You know what that means? The glory's departed. We want Emmanuel in our church so that when we've come into this house, we feel like we've been with God. And I want to tell you something. Any time where the blood is exalted and the cross is lifted up and this Bible is preached as the inerrant, infallible word of God and it's believed upon, then God is with you. So listen, it may not be much of an emotional experience, but you know you've been with God because you've heard the word of God. Somebody say amen. And I'm just saying to you that he is Emmanuel. What else have I got here? Oh, I'm going to wait to get to that. You're in Exodus 34. Say amen. And if you just want to call upon the name, God told Moses, he said, I'm going to pass by you now and I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord. Now, these groups out here, they want to say, oh, that's a secret. Oh, God's name is really lost. It's hidden. Nobody knows what it is. But we'll tell you the real secret. Well, I'm here. I'm going to tell you it's no secret. And the name of God, and we listed all these other names of God, and there's a bunch more. How about he's the rose of Sharon? Somebody say amen. He's sweeter than honey. Somebody say amen. Call upon that one. Amen. Exodus chapter 34. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Here it is right here. Here's the name of the Lord. You want this one? Go ahead and pray in this one, all right? His name is the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. That's his name. Now, if you just want to simplify it, it's Jesus. Amen. By the way, I counted these last night. 56 words here. Okay, that's 7 times 8, 7 for perfection and 8 for a new beginning. How many of you need a new beginning? Say amen. And just look at what he says. Number one, the Lord God. He, by the way, the God that you're calling upon is merciful and gracious. Amen. Listen, you want to be saved? Call upon the God of mercy. Amen. You want your marriage, right? Call upon the God that's gracious. Amen. He'll put grace in your marriage. He's long-suffering. Aren't you glad that God put up with you all these years? Somebody say amen. How about he's abundant in goodness and truth? And by the way, it did not say that God had a lot of money. Because who gives a flip about a lot of money when you're lost and dying going to hell? Amen. He's abundant in goodness and truth. And he keeps mercy for how many? Thousands, the Bible says. And he forgives the iniquity and transgression and sin. That's the God that you want to call upon. That's the God when you're in trouble. That's whose name you want to proclaim. It's the God that will forgive your iniquities and your transgressions and your sins. Somebody say amen. And by the way, God will by no means clear the guilty. So all you out there that think that, well, I believe in God. It doesn't matter what I do. That's wrong. Because embedded in his name is a warning. He will not clear the guilty. Let's be honest. Can we all be honest here? Everybody agree that we're going to be honest? You don't even know what I'm going to ask you that, but I hope you're nervous. How many of you have ever broken the law and got by with it? Raise your hand. Speed limit, 35. We think that God's going to be that way. We tell ourselves over and over that we can do what we want to and live how we want to, and God will look at our what? Our good deeds? It's not going to happen. Embedded in the very name of God is a stern warning. that he will not just clear you if you're guilty. You don't get a free pass into heaven without calling upon the name of the Lord, who will forgive your transgressions, your sins, and your iniquities. But you've got to ask. You know what some of your problem is? You're guilty of the sin of presumption. You're just presuming that God's going to get over it. And I'm here to tell you something, that when you broke God's law, it was written down. That ought to scare you. Because it's not when they pull your file out, it's not going away. The only way when they pull your records in heaven, when you're standing in God's courtroom, the only way that that will go away is if they open the book and the blood has blotted it out. But you have to ask. I remember when Lisa and I first started dating. You know, cops will tell you how to treat them. Cops can't have mercy on you if they want to, under certain conditions. And I remember one time I got pulled over in college one time, and I used my Bible college identification card, and the cop believed it, and I didn't get a ticket. He said, "Slow it down. You're going to be a preacher. You better slow it down." Okay, it worked. Okay, I was dating Lisa one time, and it got paid, and was going to take her out to dinner that night. Okay, treat her to a nice dinner. And I liked it because she didn't eat much then. I got to have everything she didn't eat. Okay, I was a grown boy. Okay, anyway, I came into town late. The banks closed at noon on Saturday, and I forgot about that. I came into town late. As I was coming down 67 here, there was a cop sitting over here just past the stoplight here. And I thought, man, I need to remember that on my way back. Don't forget that, because it's 45 through here. I got to the bank. They were closed. And, buddy, I was mad. I was angry. I was ticked off. How dare they close on me like that? I was mad. So I came zooming back, headed back home, 55, 56, 57 miles an hour, zooming back through there. And there he was. And I'm thinking, maybe he won't pull me over. Listen to me. You're sitting here thinking maybe God won't get you. And this officer pulled me over here at the Cloverleaf up here. And I was mad. I rolled the window down, and he tapped on the window. I said, "What?" I was not asking for mercy. I was asking for it. And I got it. Some of you are sitting here, maybe sitting here today, thinking God's just going to get over it. And he's not. God kept a record. And as long as you live on this earth, that record is going to be preserved intact. And when you stand before God, the book of Revelation says the books were opened. And if you have not asked for the blood to be applied, if you have not called upon the name of the Lord, who wants to forgive your sins, but sends a strong warning to you that he will not clear the guilty. If you have been given that opportunity and you just continue to live your life as if God will get over it, you've got a problem. You've got an eternal problem. Because the wages of sin is what? I don't care what it is. Sin, sin. Somebody say amen. But anyway, he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children. That is a third and fourth generation curse. And I believe in him. I believe that, daddies, if you do not conduct your life according to the scriptures, you are visiting your misery and your iniquities upon your children. Don't be surprised when your granddaughters end up pregnant 13 years old. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. But I also believe that the curses can be removed at the cross of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. I believe the curses are lifted at Calvary. And I believe that if you call upon the name of the Lord, who will forgive the sins and the iniquities and the transgressions, God will lift the curses off your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. How many of you believe that? Say amen. That's just the Bible that I believe right here. Okay? Now let me say this. Let me close with this. I like this. I'm kind of getting to it. I'm kind of getting excited in here. Here's another name. Okay? If you can't handle the name Jesus, here's another one. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. I worship the God that is wonderful. Somebody say amen. Listen, it's better than chocolate dessert. And I've had some of these desserts. You put it in your mouth and you go, I need to sit down. That was wonderful. I'm telling you, the God that I serve is a lot better than that. Somebody say amen. Listen, if you've never had an old Holy Ghost experience when you've been down confessing your sins to God and God has been cleaning you up and wiping your sins away and you got up from that altar and you proclaimed victory to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, that's wonderful. Somebody say amen. Number two, his name is Counselor. If you can't handle Jesus, call him Counselor. He's the one that'll listen to you. He's the one that you can confide in, that you can confess to. He's the God that you can tell all your dirty, nasty, filthy secrets to, and God will keep him in confidence. Somebody say amen. And then he'll counsel you and he'll say, here's what you need. You need a little bit of blood applied in your life. Amen. And you need a little bit of Holy Ghost. And by the way, I'm going to write out a prescription for 3 to 4 chapters a day in my medicine book right here. Somebody say amen. He's a counselor. Number three. And this is where I tell you what I get old Brady, you're Jehovah's Witness. Let me tell you what Jesus' name is. His name is the Mighty God. And Brady pulled out his New World Translation. No, it doesn't say that in another Bible, in another translation, it doesn't say that. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus' name is the Mighty God. Somebody say amen. That means there's nothing he can't do for you. There's no problem he can't fix. And I've been in a boatload of problems in my life, and I thought, there's no way out. Even to the point one time where I'd taken my own life would have been an option. But I called upon the name of the Lord, who's the mighty God who could do things that I couldn't do. And don't tell me you've never been there. By the way, the name of Jesus is the everlasting Father. He said, I and the Father are one. If you got to hang up with that, I'm sorry. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. The Bible says, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. So listen, you can go to God directly by Jesus Christ, the everlasting Father. By the way, he's the Prince of Peace. How many of you would like peace in your life? Say amen. How many of you had turmoil in your marriage and it's better to have peace in the marriage? Amen. It's a whole lot better to not be fighting and throwing stuff and calling each other names and everything else in the world. The kids are going, Mama, Daddy. Am I telling you the truth? Amen. Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord, and one of his names is the Prince of Peace. And I'll tell you something, there's nothing better in your life than having peace in your family, peace in your life. Reason why this country is going downhill the way it is, we have no peace because we don't have a Prince of Peace. We have a Prince of the power of the air that's ruling this country. Amen? The God of this world. But anyway, those are some of the names that you can pray in. But I'll just make it simple then here, and we'll get out of here. Acts chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, be it known unto you and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Remember, there was a man that was in the temple that was lame. And he said, this is the stone which was set of naught of you builders. See, there's some people out there that have a real problem with the name Jesus. I don't. And Jesus is the stone that is being rejected by most areas of this world, including some in religious circles. And I'll tell you this, it's not only the sacred name people, it's these hand-wringing, wishy-washy little sissy churches and sissy pastors up there that don't want to offend anybody, that don't want to say Jesus. What you'll hear, in fact, you start listening to contemporary Christian music, you'll be hard-pressed to hear the name Jesus. He is the stone that even the singers and the worshipers have disallowed. But it's the name. In fact, the testimony of some of these people is that had come out of contemporary Christian music. They said, we were told by the record companies, take that name out. It doesn't sell. You think I'm making that up? I'm not. You start listening to some of the music that you say you're listening to and listen to hear the name Jesus in there. If it's not in there, then you've got you some music that have set it not the stone. They've set it out here out of the way because they don't like it. It offends people. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you get offended at Jesus, you're just offended. Amen? It's the fence of the cross, and the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But his name is Jesus, the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. It neither is there salvation in any other. You listen to this. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He didn't say call upon the name of John Lennon. He didn't say call upon the name of Elvis Presley. He didn't say call upon the name of the prophet Muhammad. He didn't say call upon the name of Buddha. He said call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Somebody say amen. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. This is why you ought to slap your kids across their mouth when they say Jesus Christ. Get them, put them over the wash tub, get a bar of Ivory soap and go to scrubbing. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Listen, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and in things in the earth and things under the earth. That means the beast that's in the pit right now is going to have to bow before Jesus. Somebody say amen. I hope I'm standing there watching him going, ha, 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 ha. And the devil is going to kneel before Jesus Christ. You know what I'm telling you? If you haven't knelt, you better. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And if you just want to sit there in your pride and your arrogancy and your, I'm not a bad person. If you just want to hang on to that attitude, you hang on to it. But I'm here to tell you the Jesus that I'm preaching you today, that I'm asking you kindly and with all my heart to kneel before. Whether you do it now or do it later, you're going to kneel. You're going to bow. And he'll be the one sitting on the throne. And Joseph Smith will not be sitting next to him. Amen. Neither will all the saints and all the popes and none of Billy Graham's not going to be. I'm telling you, one name. One name. Jesus Christ. How is it that you can have your marriage saved? Listen, I'll just tell you, and maybe some people do need some counseling, but I'll tell you that calling on the name of Jesus is a whole lot cheaper in counseling. Amen? I'm telling you, it's a whole lot cheaper. In fact, it's free. God said to me, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm just here to tell you that if you'll call on the name of the Lord, his name is Jesus, God will save you. And let me say this. Today might not be your day. I'd like for it to be. But it may not be rough enough right now. Sometimes we don't rescue drowning people till they actually get in the water and start drowning. Because you can't. You can't tell somebody, if you get in that water, you're going to drown. They won't listen. But when they're calling out, that's when it's time to save. And I'm just here to tell you, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.